Hello?
Oh, yeah, that's much better, much better. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. All
right, bet. Word, bro. Man, what's cracking, dog? Thanks for taking the time to reach out, you know, doing this impromptu joint. You know, I'm really feeling it. I'm feeling what energy you coming with, man. You know, just go ahead. I'm going to take this time to, you can say what's on your mind, and you can kind of just kind of go a little bit more in the detail of just what you feel is important to express. I'll just give a little overview. So for those of you that have been listening to my episodes consistently, thank you so much once again. I always say, you know, without y'all, there's no me. So that goes a long way. And I really appreciate every single person that takes their time and lends their ears to hear my message. That really goes so, so long. And it helps me even live a dream that I didn't even think would happen this rapidly, but this is my man, my right hand from ship. Met him before the school year even started, just kind of in an act of God, and I mean that's pretty much even what transpired tonight. So you know, it was kind of written that two young, successful, and like-minded Black men would become and grow together to become leaders in their professions and what they do. So with that being said, this is my man Ruben Bordeaux, and I'm gonna let you have the mic.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, dog.
Excuse me, I'm chewing at the moment, but like Alex said, my name is Ruben Bordeaux. Alex and I go way back. way back, and I'm pretty sure it's not gonna end anytime soon until we dead. But met Alex at Shippensburg University, fall of 14, McCune, room 230, and I believe his room was McCune 237?
Nah, 235, yo.
Oh, I put two extra doors on his name.
Come on, 237, that was Corey's room, bro. You tripping right now.
Yo, don't tell nobody. But So it's a pleasure for me to be on Alex's podcast, support what he's doing. He took a leap of faith to get to where he's at currently with his podcast and everything that he's doing. So congratulations to him and everything that he's doing. And I wish him nothing but the success and nothing much but the greatest things in life. And he's giving everyone a piece of what he's doing on this podcast and the knowledge that he has. So that way he could better everybody else. So I really appreciate that, bro, for real. Yes. And Alex has been telling me to come on his podcast. He's been telling me I need to come on here for a while now. And it's just a moment where I came back from the gym and I just felt like there's so much on my mind, so much that I realized while lifting that I truly need to get this off my chest. Not just because it will benefit others, but because it's like, it's uplifting for those who may think they have it all, who may think that they're in a good position. It's uplifting, and it really makes you think about where you truly stand in life. And I only say this because I myself, I wake up at 5 a.m, go to the gym every day faithfully, besides Saturdays and Sundays. I wake up at 7 and go at 8 since it opens up at 8.
Right.
And I overslept for the gym, almost overslept for work, hurried up, showered, got my clothes on, went to work. And lo and behold, my routine was already messed up. And I felt as though that my day was not going to go as planned. I felt as though my day was already ruined. I felt as though there's nothing good that will come out this day. But put on my pants, put on everything, got in my car, drove to work. And I said to myself, I said, you know what? It is what it is. I already overslept. There's nothing I could do about me oversleeping. The only thing I could do is go into work and do what I got to do.
Right.
So even though my routine was messed up, I felt as though I was in a disadvantage. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to stop the fact that I overslept, stop me from going into the gym.
Right.
And I feel as though there's some people in life that whenever something goes wrong, they ultimately give up. I could have gave up and I could have said, you know what? I missed the gym today. It's whatever. I'll just hit it tomorrow. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's fine. But the feeling that I had and the intentions that I have on getting myself healthier and getting myself in shape is the reason why I said, no, I can't skip today. Wow. If I skip today, then it's going to turn into me saying, okay, I could skip tomorrow. And I did that on Monday where I didn't feel as good and I skipped Monday. I didn't oversleep on Tuesday. I woke up. Mm. It was already 6 o'clock. And I said, you know what? It's already 6 o'clock. I'm usually up by like 5:30 already on my way to the gym. It's already 6 o'clock. You know what? I'll just lift tomorrow. But then I said to myself, you know what? Let me just go after work. I went after work on Tuesday. And today I was like, you know what? I overslept. I didn't plan on oversleeping. I actually planned on going into work. I actually planned on lifting, but yeah. I overslept. Let me just go in the gym later tonight, which I did. And as I'm in the gym, I'm lifting. And there's this guy that goes by the name of Skunk. And the only reason why he goes by the name of Skunk is because he has a couple gray hairs and his hair. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not...
So he said he's all buffed out. He's 37 years old. He told me he's 37 years old and he's jacked and he's in shape. And as I'm lifting and everything, I'm about to bench. I believe it was it wasn't 245. It was, I'd say, so 245s on each side and 220s on each side. That's like, what's that? Like 265?
Yeah, I wanna think.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. So I'm about to hit 265. And he said he's not going to lift it off of me. And for those who's in the gym and those who lift and those who do any type of fitness, you know what a lift off is. That's when you're sitting on you're laying on your back on the bench and you're not pushing the weight up off the support. Somebody pulls it up for you and then you push up yourself and then you hold it there. And then you get down to lifting and you bench. So he said, if you can't break it, that means you can't do it. So if you can't break it, don't do it. So this guy's watching over me. So I break it. I'm able to get it off myself. I come down, and as I'm about to push up, I'm not able to push up as much. So he sees me struggling. He just watches me struggle. So I'm like, wow. So I'm pushing. I start getting up a little bit. Then he puts his hand underneath it. And as I'm pushing, he said, this is all you. I rack it up. And I get it up. And he said, that was all you. My hands were underneath it, but that was all you. And I thought to myself, I said,
wow,
the thought of me thinking that I couldn't get it up myself is the reason why I sat there and I was struggling with it, because of the fact that I thought he would have stepped in and intervened as soon as I couldn't get it up. But he sat there and watched me. And I want to relate this to life.
Mm.
Some of us will sit there and watch people pass us by. We may fall, we may stumble, but we are hesitant on getting back up right away. We want somebody else there to help us get up.
Right.
And life, if you wait for someone else to help you get up, you will be waiting there for eternity. Mm. In my eyes.
I agree.
And the reason why I say that is because of the fact that, go walk in New York City. Not just New York City, in this day and age. Go walk somewhere.
Yep.
You may fall real hard, and people will continue walking about their business. They will continue to worry about what their agenda is set out to do, and they'll worry about where they need to go and what they need to do.
Yep.
So the only person that is affected by this, by you falling, is yourself, and possibly two other people that probably had to sidestep around you.
Right.
But their life is not fully impacted the way your life is, because you're sitting there with pains and aches. But if you're sitting there waiting for somebody else to come pick you up, then you're not really going to be benefiting yourself at all in this life. And that's where I wanted to bring it. But back to the lifting, as soon as I racked it, he said, it's all mental. And I said to myself, yes, I believe it. And I said it to him. I said, yes, you are right. It is all mental. The reason why I said that is because as soon as he had his hand underneath it, my brain automatically thought, okay, this guy's helping me bring it up. I'm fine. Let me just keep on going. He's helping me bring it up. But at the end of it, he said, I did not even help you. And a lot of people know when you're lifting, it's like if the person put their hand underneath the bar, they're helping you and you don't like that. But he truly said, I didn't even touch it. I just had my hand underneath it. You thought I was helping you. So just the thought of me getting the help really put me in the position for me to be like, oh, all right, cool, I'm good. Where in a sense, I was able to put it up myself, but I just didn't believe in myself. I just didn't truly see it myself for me to do it.
That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. Which brings me back to my daily routine in the early morning where I felt as though, because my routine was off, I felt as though nothing was going to go right today. But lo and behold, after I was done doing that, this guy was talking to me about different type of workouts. He said, I know you could put that weight up. You need to switch up the way you're working out. He said, a lot of people overlook the basics. Push-ups, pull-ups. That will help you out. That will get you stronger. That will be your key for you to get stronger and more cut and more defined. And I didn't truly understand what he was saying until he truly showed it to me. And he said, you're going to have to superset. And for those that don't understand what superset is, it's basically when you're doing an exercise. So you could do jump rope and you could say, all right, I jump rope. I did it for 20 times. Okay, I'm done. Let me take a break. That's not superset. Mm-hmm. So you could jump rope 20 times after you're done jump roping. You do sit-ups 20 times, and after that, from doing sit-ups, you go do push-ups 20 times. That counts as one. That's one time. That's a superset without taking a break. Your break comes after you're done with the last that last workout. Yeah, that last exercise, last workout.
Yep.
So he said, you need a superset. And I've heard this from my older cousin, and I've overlooked it. But what I realized is that as I was lifting, I was consistently doing the same thing in the daily routine and the weekly routine where I go to the gym Sunday through Saturday, work out legs, work out back, work out chest, work out shoulders, work out triceps, biceps, work on abs in that order. But as I'm doing that, I'm benching and then I'm taking like a 3-minute break scrolling through my social media, which is eating up time, which is eating up my gains. So I'm sacrificing my gains. I'm sacrificing my time of lifting to be on something that's not going to even give me more help and more strength and more help with my health. You see where I'm going?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought to myself, when he told me that, he was like, you got to change up your workout. So right then and there, I was like, all right, cool. Let me do what he tells me to do. So he said, put on 185 on the bench and rep it out 20 times. When you're done repping it out 20 times, do push-ups. Do at least 50. When you're done doing the push-ups, go do pull-ups. So I said, okay, let me do what this guy's telling me to do. So now I'm doing it. I'm bouncing off the bar off my chest and everything. He comes by. He said, don't bounce the bar off your chest. Get it close to your chest. Don't bounce it off and do that 20 times. See if you can do it. So I start struggling. Now, lo and behold, me, I'm thinking that I'm strong. I already feel as though like I'm strong. I'm like, oh, okay, I look good. I'm gonna keep on doing what I'm doing because obviously it's working. But what I was doing consistently was not bettering myself at all.
Mm.
And this is where I take it into life. You may be good at something. You may be great at doing what you're doing. But if what you're doing is not challenging you, what you're doing is not confusing you, what you're doing is not making you stress a little, then you're not helping yourself out at all.
That's right. That's real, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not helping yourself out at all, then you're good as dead in my eyes. in a sense. And the only way I say, the only reason why I say that is because without a challenge, you're just putting out the same product. You're putting out the same output. You're waking up. You're basically Squidward when he went to that Squidward land and he was doing the same routine over and over again. Yeah, it's fun at first.
Right.
But after a while, you get bored. After a while, the same routine is going to eat you alive and you're not going to be able to do anything. So me doing the same routine in the gym really was hurting me rather than benefiting me. I was getting strong, but I wasn't getting as strong as I possibly could be able to get strong, like to what I could possibly do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I started doing the workout that he was telling me to do. Doing it. And I was failing at doing push-ups. The most simplest thing. I was benching. I had to go down to 135, back to 135, which is plates on each side, 45 plates on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Repping that for 20. I barely was able to rep that for 20. So I was doing it for at least like 10. Chest is tight, sore, doing push-ups, failing. I'm only getting like 5. Mm-hmm. Failing, falling down. Then getting back on the bench, doing dumbbell press with 30s, 35s. That's hurting me. I'm like, what's going on? But I came to realize that's something I never did. My daily routine of me just doing the same weight, same this, same that, wasn't benefiting me because I was still benching the same amount of weight and I did not move up. So he had this last workout and he told me that he was going to show it to me. So I said, all right. So then he put me onto it. And I started doing the workout and he said, listen, you're not going to be able to do as heavy as weight that I'm doing. Do what you can do. You got to start off small and then work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, all right. And he said, I can't cheat you. I can't cheat. Cheat. I can't cheat you. The only person that could cheat you is yourself. So I said, all right. I said, all right, cool. So this is where I bring it to reality and this is where I bring it to life. I know we're bouncing around a lot, but sorry about that.
No, man.
When he said he can't cheat you, you can only cheat yourself, it really puts it into reality and fruition that you have control over your own life and you have control over what you can and can't do. And when I was doing the workouts that he was telling me to do, there were points and times where I was like, yo, I am weak. I don't want to do this no more. And he reassured me. He was like, no, you're not weak. You have muscle. But you're not used to the workout that I'm giving you. Your foundation has to be solid before you start building up on it. You have to start small before you get big.
Right.
This is not something that is new. This is something that is repeated in history, not just for lifting, not just for living, but for anything and everything. You have to start off small before you get big.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because look at any car dealership, look at any car manufacturer, look at any type of technology, look at anything in the world.
Yep.
At one point, that company and that person was in your position, was small as you. They were small.
Yep.
And yes, some people have overnight successes. Some companies have overnight successes.
Very rare.
But, yep. It's very rare. But the ones that do have overnight successes, go take a look at their foundation. Go take a look at their basement. As if we're building a house. Go down in the basement and see how their foundation and how their basement was formed. Yeah, you could build a house within like 3 months, but will that house be as solid as some of the brick and some of those brick houses that were made back in like the 1990s, back in the 1950s and everything? No.
That's right.
No. So it doesn't matter how fast, it doesn't matter about the speed. It's quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. What is it? It's like the rabbit against the turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, both of them are going to get to the finish line. It all depends on how you get there. But at the same time, it's paying attention to key details and making sure that what you're putting out there isn't something that's going to be valid for this short period of time
right.
and expire later on.
Right.
So as I'm doing all this guy's workout, he had me doing dips. And usually when my muscles are fresh, I'm able to do my dips. Mm-hmm. My muscles are fatigued. I'm huffing and puffing myself. So I went over to the assisted dip machine. So I'm doing it. I did it. And I got off of it. And he said to me, he said, don't you ever let me see you go over there and do the assisted dips machines. And I said, why? I was like, I'm just attempting to do the workout. He's like, nah, if you can't do it, don't do it. I said, all right. He was like this, don't be wearing that skirt. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. He was like this, listen, I understand your muscles are tired. I understand your fatigue. I'm not judging you. If you can't do it, then you do it for tomorrow. You save it for tomorrow. You do it tomorrow.
Mm.
There's no rush in doing it right now because it's all new to you. This is new. This workout's new. I don't expect you to be able to do it all, but I expect you to do a lot of it. And I was like, all right, yeah. He was like, don't cheat yourself. You're the only person that could cheat yourself. And that's when I truly realized and understood. By me going over there and doing the dip machine, now my body's going to be used to me doing the dip machine and getting an assistance where when it comes time for me to truly do it, will I truly be able to do it? No, I'll be back to step one where I was at, not being able to do it by myself. While my muscle is fatigued. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this goes back to reality, where I'm taking it back to reality in this day and age. Like, yeah, we all want the good grades. Yeah, we want to get an A. Yeah, we want to do this. Yeah, we want fame. Yeah, we want fortune. Yeah, we want to be a star. Yeah, we want to do this. But don't cheat yourself in the process.
Mm.
You could easily make money any type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it the right way. You can make it the wrong way. The end result will be different for those two people that do it the right way and the wrong way.
Yep. Very
good. Yeah, 100%. 100%. You cheating your way through school didn't hurt the system. It only hurted your. It only hurt you.
Because
mm. Now you're incompetent. Now you're not able to understand truly what the real foundation of what you studied in school is, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do, man.
Mm-hmm. And my fault, bro. You usually be talking in your podcast too, asking questions. So if you have anything to ask, just go away and shoot for it. I'll be able to answer whatever you want me to answer. I feel like I'm running away with this. My fault.
No, I let whoever comes on my show, I let them provide most of the value. That's why I like to have people on here so that it gives them a platform to also start providing people the value that they deserve to hear. And that's what you've only done is provided a lot of value. And when you said, you know, you only cheat yourself, that just took me back to being in high school. My, I want to say senior year, maybe mm-hmm. junior, but senior year when I took accounting, I just cheated through that. Like, I had a good friend of mine, and we would pretty much all give each other answers. There were probably like six of us involved, and my friend, her name was Delaney. She actually even signed my yearbook saying, like, your future accountant, because like I always told her, like, yo, I'm gonna need an accountant someday, so you know, you help me get through accounting. But it wasn't because I wasn't understanding accounting. It was because I didn't want to and I didn't care mm-hmm. about accounting. So then fast forward, now I'm taking accounting 101, like, well, we have 200, but, you know, mm-hmm. introduction, I'm taking financial accounting. And I have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I would have took that extra time, it would have just been one semester of high school compared to college, then I would have had an advantage and be like, oh, okay, like I remember, you know, the credits and debits doing all this and owner's expense, and like I remember doing all that, and then balance sheet, you know, like all these different types of things. Like, okay, cool, it wouldn't be new to me, and I would have even done better in the class, and I wouldn't have been as behind. But because of the way I was thinking, it helped me get to the place where I shouldn't have been in the first place, but it's where I deserve to been because I was cheating myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that's 2020.
Yeah, only 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You got to focus on what you're doing now. Yeah, you got a future. You want to envision your future. You want to see what you're going to do in the near future. But if you don't do something, one thing that I loved in your podcast that you always said, correct me if I'm wrong, what you do now is a result. Where you are a year from now is a result from what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I love that. And I go by that every day. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, there's two things that I really want to, like, drive home, really.
Yeah, go.
I'm done with the story, but for those who took some of the bits and pieces that I was given, even though I was, like, jumping around a lot, I hope y'all took something away from it. Sorry about that. But there was a lot of stuff that I could have used as analogies that I kind of just threw at you all at once. Sorry about that. But we'll figure that out later on if y'all have more questions. Just message Alex on this, and he'll probably be able to clear things up or something. But shoot, I don't want to let this slip my mind. Jeez, one of them already slipped my mind. But I got it. Thank you. But a lot of us, like, graduated, like, from my class. We all graduated. Some of us have jobs. Some of us are entrepreneurs. Some of us are doing other things. Mm-hmm. Some of us are away from home. Some of us are in new areas. Some of us are uncomfortable about the areas that we're in. But this goes to show, when you're uncomfortable in an area, like Alex has said, growing pains, mm-hmm. it's only helping you out better. It's only bettering you. When I go to the gym and I come back sore, I'm like, wow, my body hurts. But I know that I did something that bettered myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're comfortable in an area doesn't mean that's the best situation for you. That could actually be hindering your growth, and that could actually be hindering what you're supposed to be doing in this day and age. Just because I went to Shippensburg University, it's a great institution, it's a great place for me to go, I know a lot of people there, I know some of the faculty members, doesn't mean that's where I should go for grad school.
Mm-hmm.
I will be hurting myself in the near future. I'll be doing myself a disservice if I were to go back there for grad school. And I'm not saying that whoever goes back to Shippensburg University who did their undergrad there and goes there for their master's is doing themselves a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking on my terms. And for those who feel as though this message is for them, they could receive it. And for those that don't feel like this message for them, they don't have to receive it at all. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not downplaying the university. I'm not downplaying anything. I love that university, to tell you the truth. But I'm just saying, being able to leave your nested area and travel somewhere else will open up more opportunities for you. You'll be able to network a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the faculties at Shippensburg University, but if I go to the University of Michigan, I may be able to know a lot more professors. Not only professors, I may be able to make a connection with some of the other students there. And now I have grown my network at Shippensburg University and Wilkes-Barre, PA, and Philadelphia, PA. Now yep. I'm out in Michigan, and I've made connections each in different places where I'm able to extend out my hand and help those people, and those people could do the same for me. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I understand for those people, it's a better situation to be at home. Financially, it's better. I wish I was at home right now. It would be better for me financially so that way I could get stuff paid off and done. But without a leap of faith, without a risk, how is your return supposed to be greater? You see what I mean?
Powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm investing into the stock market, and I invest into a security bond, a bond that's not as risky, my return is not going to be as high. And that's just facts. That's just facts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've learned. compared to if I invest into a bond or a stock or a T-bill that is very risky, highly volatile and very risky.
Right.
Yeah, I may suffer a negative loss. I may have a negative loss, or I may have a positive gain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows. Like you said, hindsight is 20/20.
That's facts.
But where I truly wanted to go with this was, jeez, I keep on slipping my mind. I have the mind of a 50-year-old. Jeez.
There's a lot in there, man.
It was about, it was about the, jeez.
Let me see. Let me try to help you with the way you were thinking, kind of taken away from you in the future where you could possibly be.
It was before that. The line that you, what you do today is where you land some. Oh, there we go. I got it back.
Yeah.
So where I wanted to go with this is, all right, there's many of us who have jobs and everything. And many of us that have been off to college, we did the campus life. If not the campus life, we did the commuter life, but you were a student. You had the mindset of a student.
Fact.
All we knew for the past, 16 to 17 years, or even 18 years for those who did extra semesters, was wake up, go to school, do your homework, get the answer right, get the answer wrong, take the exam, go from there, and do whatever you need to do from that point on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Have the summer off, and for college students, have a nice long winter break, come back, have a 4-month vacation, and come back and do it all over again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you graduate, you kind of tend to be in that mindset a little bit. And for those who know the saying, hard work pays off. Yes, hard work does pay off. You may not see it now, but it does in the long run. I may not see it now, but I've had testimonies. I've had great things happen to me where I'm like, wow, it's because I did this, this, and this. This is where I landed. But what I truly want to say is if you have a good friend and a true friend, they will understand your grind. They will understand your determination to do what you need to do to get where you need to get. If you're following me.
Yeah, to be on your purpose.
Exactly. If someone is calling you constantly and telling you, you never speak to me, you never do this for me, or you're always busy, you never have enough time for me. If you really cared about me, you would put time in your schedule for me. You need to sit there and question them, or just question yourself and be like, are they truly your friend?
Yep, I agree.
And I only say that because a friend, even if you don't talk to them for days, weeks, you could always connect with them and you will pick up where you left off. An acquaintance,
yep.
A coworker, yeah, you talk to them every day. You could not talk to them for 3 months. You won't pick up where you left off because it was based off of work. It was based off of whatever situation that you were doing in that instance. But a friend will always have that same mindset as you. If not the same mindset, they will challenge your mindset so that way you're better than what you were.
Yep.
So if your friend is not there challenging you, if your friend is not there helping you out, you need to sit there and question yourself. And I'm only saying this because there's times where I'm working late and I'm grinding and I'm doing what I got to do to understand what I'm doing at work. Not just that, I'm doing other things. I'm wanting to get involved in the community. I'm seeking out ways that I could be involved in schools so that way I could become a track coach. So that way I could become a mentor to students. So that way I could reach out to other people within the community. So that way I could keep myself busy and keep myself involved in this community in this day and age. Because they say it takes a village to raise their children, mm-hmm. not just your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So if it takes a village and I know 23 years of knowledge, why am I not helping others out? You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if someone text me or calls me and say, yo, you don't talk to me no more. You don't ever call me this and that. That's when you got to sit there and be like, sir, or bro, are you serious? You know that I'm busy and you know that I care about you. I'm not saying that I'm busy because I don't care. I'm not saying that I'm busy because I don't want to talk to you. You got to understand where I'm coming from. I'm doing what I'm doing now so that way we could be in a better place tomorrow.
That's, oof, man, say that again.
Well, they're going to have to hit rewind and hear that one more time. But I'm doing what I'm doing now so that way we could be in a better place tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you're not supporting me, then you're against me. And yet, there's certain things in life where when we do certain things, it may not be the best route. And then your friend steps in like, hey, the way you're doing that, I don't think you should be doing it like that. Well, how about you do it like this, this, and this?
Right.
And if I'm a true friend, I'll take your advice and I'll see what works out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there telling me I'm not helping you, I'm not talking to you, you're holding me back because my mindset is different than what your mindset is. Your mindset is me calling you every day. Your mindset is me texting you every day. Your mindset is me constantly keeping that Snapchat streak going on with you. But you fail to see that the reason why I'm not snapping you 24/7, the reason why I snap you once or twice to keep that streak alive is because I'm doing other things to help myself in my career path, not just my career path and my spiritual life, not just in my spiritual life, but also in my home community. I'm new to this area. I want to be involved. I want to help others. And I'm not saying this. I'm not pointing anyone out. I'm just saying it because it's an example that many people can probably relate to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody feel attacked that I'm attacking them, hey, my fault. I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying what I got to say.
The shoe fits, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, don't hold nobody down because your expectation of them calling you constantly and being around them constantly is not there. This is not college. This is not high school. This is not elementary school where every single day you are constantly talking to them and you felt as though that's the only way you can keep your friendship alive is by talking to them every day. No, the only reason why your friendship was alive in high school, elementary school, and college was because you had to see them every day.
Mm-hmm.
You had to tolerate them. It's not because you wanted to be around them. You had to tolerate all the shenanigans, all the crazy stuff that they were doing in school. So the only way to tolerate them is by being friends with them and talking to them. So that way you could be able to manage what they're doing and manage your mindset. But after you graduate, after you leave, if they're truly your friend, they'll understand that you have to take some different avenues. You have to do different things for you to be able to be in that position.
Right.
It's just like your wife. If you have a wife, your wife will be your ultimate supporter. She'll understand that there's late days that you have to do. There's long nights that you have to put in. There's different things that you'll have to do. But if your wife is truly a rider, if she's really for you, or your husband is truly a rider or truly there for you, they will do anything and everything for you. They will understand your late nights. They'll understand your frustrations. They'll understand your struggles. They'll understand that there's certain things that won't go their way. But it's okay because the relationship and the marriage that y'all have is stronger than anything else on this earth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying here is the only reason why I bring that up is because everybody knows President Obama. Everybody loves President Obama. And if anybody hasn't listened to Oprah's Masterclass, actually not that one. There's another documentary on this podcast platform where they talk about Obama's journey, about where he got to.
Right.
And Obama's journey wasn't as easy as everybody think it is. They just see the end result.
Yeah.
They just see the finished product. Nobody saw Steve Jobs struggling. Nobody saw Steve Jobs get kicked out of Apple, where no. Steve Jobs had to come up with a different way to get back into Apple. Nobody saw any of that. All they saw was that Steve Jobs was standing on stage holding the iPhone 3, iPhone 4, iPhone 5, holding it up and presenting it to everyone else. That's all they saw. Yep. Nobody saw him crying. Nobody saw him leaving his daughter and forgetting his family. Nobody saw any of that. Nobody saw Jeff Bezos quitting his job on Wall Street at the age of 30 and doing what he needed to do, having a negative profit for like 10 years with Amazon before he's the richest man on this earth.
Yep.
Which is monetarily.
Crazy.
Monetarily, he's the richest man on this earth. But I could tell you something else. there are some people that are richer than he is, spiritually and mentally.
Facts. Always. Always, man.
Yep. 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 Spiritually and mentally, I may be the richest guy. I may be richer than Jeff Bezos. Monetarily, he's richer than me. I don't care. He can keep that. Mm-hmm. So when I die, I can't take it with me. I'll let you know that. But that's what I wanted to say is Barack Obama went to Columbia, which is a university in New York City. He accepted a job in Chicago as a community organizer, which is a brand new position that they just made up. They wanted to like mend the community with like the churches and like just the community itself, because there was a lot of shootings, a lot of killings and a whole bunch of stuff. This guy left where he was comfortable in New York to grab a job all the way in Chicago after he graduated from Columbia with a salary that was not up to par to where he needed to be. All he asked for was a car. They bought him a car, gave them a car, and he went out there doing his thing. He was grinding. He was struggling, walking door to door, knocking on people's door, asking them what's wrong with the community, helping people in Section 8, having their showers remade, getting asbestos removed. He was really for the community. He was doing it behind the scenes. Everybody thought the mayor and everybody else was doing it, but Obama was the one doing the work. You see? Mm-hmm. He was doing the work, but everybody else was getting the credit. This guy did not overstep anyone. He did not overstep them and be like, no, I did it. My man did his thing, and he waited for his time to come. So then it goes to this. He wanted to go to Harvard Law School. But right. Everyone that he was with working in the community, they said, don't go, man. We don't want you to go because you're going to lose sight of where you came from and what you've done. Because everyone who goes big and going to law school, they think about like the politics and they think like that. Mm. So Obama went off. He did what he had to do. He came back. He started working for this law firm. He met Michelle Obama at the same law firm. They got married and everything. But this is how you know Michelle Obama was for him. And this is why I say, if somebody's saying that you're not texting me, you're not this, you're not that, they're not for you, they're not with you, they're not riders, cut them out or just step away from them a little bit, is because of this reason. Obama had a wife, he had a kid on the way, and this guy was out campaigning in Chicago and everything, so that way he could become, I believe it was the senator of Illinois. This guy was going everywhere. He has a wife who's pregnant, kids on the way. But this guy's out on the road doing whatever he needs to do. His wife, I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but all I can say is that he didn't get divorced. He was still with Michelle because she was the first lady. That's all I can say.
That's facts.
He put them two in debt because he took out loans so that way he could support his campaigning trail, put them in debt. The only thing Michelle said is, don't you ever embarrass me like that. Don't you ever put us in debt like that ever again. That's the only thing that they said on the podcast. I don't know what else happened behind the scenes. Something else could have happened, but that's what I've been hearing. Mm. But it goes to show, like, if somebody's really your rider, if somebody's really there for you in your life, no matter what you're doing, they'll support you.
Yep.
You can possibly not talk to them for days in, days out, but they know that you're up to something and they respect you for that. But whenever they call you, you're able to pick up. You pick up and you talk to them for a little bit. They catch up with you. Then they let you do what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my next point. Which really, everybody does this. I can't sit here and say I don't do it. I need to take my own advice as well. But stay in your lane, man. Stay in your own lane.
Ooh, elaborate on that.
Bro, stay in your own. And what I want to say about that is, don't worry about fucking Timothy. Don't worry about Johnny in the next lane doing something that you're not doing. That's how people get killed. Mm-hmm. That's how people get killed.
Not paying attention. That's how you get
killed. Yes, exactly. If I'm over here looking at Johnny's car, he's driving a Ferrari and I'm driving a 2003 Honda Accord and I'm just staring at him, I'm either going to veer off the road and I'm a rear end another vehicle on the highway. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just that simple principle of you focusing on what's going on in your lane is so hard for people to take away in life. And right. I don't understand that. And then I do it too. But what I truly want to say is what that person has in their life doesn't mean that you need to have it in your life. What that, so this person could have a brand. I remember in high school, there was people driving around some of the newest cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I was over here driving I was driving a 1998 Honda Accord, faded paint off the hood, the top of the car, the back of the car. This car was stalling on me and it wasn't even a stick shift.
Yep.
It came to a point where my wheels kept on breaking.
Oh, yeah. Turn to the side.
Yep. Every single time I would hit a pothole, I would fear that my tire would fall off. Yes. And the thing about it was a $500 car. My dad and I bought it, and then we put in a new engine, and we did what we had to do. But I can tell you, I loved that car. I loved it. We kept on pouring money into it. Mm-hmm. But I did see other people in school rolling around with the brand new cars and whatnot. I said to myself, only if I was able to have it. But I thought to myself, if I'm over here looking at what they have and not evaluating my situation, I am truly ungrateful. Mm-hmm. And that's when you being ungrateful would lead to your death. Yep. And the reason why I say that is I was working a part-time job while in school, while running track, while doing whatever I needed to do in school. Working a part-time job at McDonald's. Worked there for, I believe, 4 to 5 years. Hated it. But it made me who I am today. So I can't truly hate it all that much. I had some fun times there.
Right.
So what I wanted to say is me looking at what they had would have killed me because of the fact that I would have saw them driving around with the brand new 2013 vehicle. And I would have said to myself, I want that car. Not knowing that their parents probably are paying that for them, where my parents doesn't have the means to pay for a brand new vehicle that I had, that I would want, let alone my dad not even driving around with a brand new vehicle himself. He's driving around with like a 2005 vehicle. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would end up killing myself for materialistic things. And by looking at somebody else's lane and not truly realizing how much of a blessing I have to have a vehicle where I don't need to take a bus, where I don't need to walk home, where I don't need to worry about making it to this spot at this certain time where I'll miss my bus to go to school, where I could get up freely, get in my car and drive to school. I was overlooking all of that. But then I sat down and I thought to myself, I said, listen, if I don't truly see that I'm blessed enough not to have a loan on this car, blessed enough not to be paying car insurance on this car because my dad is helping me out, then I am truly ungrateful and I'm going to just die.
Right.
And I'm not saying die physically. I'm saying die mentally and spiritually because I would have went out and bought a new car. I would have went out, attempted to get a new car where I had a loan on it. Loans aren't fun. Owing people money isn't fun. So I would have sat there, owed the bank money. I'm working a part-time job and I'm going to school. So now I have to work 10 times as hard to make my $100 paycheck, $150 paycheck that I get every 2 weeks. Mm. I have to make that grow to like a $300 paycheck. Just so that way I could pay my car note, just for the car note, not including gas, not including maintenance, not including anything else. So I would be killing myself. I would be sacrificing my high school days. I would be sacrificing my sanity for a materialistic thing. I'll be working my life away for something that would be on earth longer than I am. And when you think about it like this. Your lifespan to live is, I don't even know. I don't even know. Let's just say, 80 years? Because people are starting to live a little bit longer.
Yeah. That's a good estimate.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there are cars on this road that are past their 80-year lifespan. And there's no true lifespan on a vehicle. I honestly believe that. If you take care of your vehicle, if you do the proper maintenance, if you do the proper everything, there is no lifespan to a vehicle. A vehicle could last however long you need it to last for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to kill yourself for something that's going to outlive you.
Yep.
and it's just going to be on this earth sitting here while you're in the ground. Does that make sense?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? By me focusing on myself and focusing on my own lane, I am not worried about whatever what Johnny is doing in his lane. I'm not worried about what Ivanka is doing in her lane over here. I'm worried about me. Yeah, I'll glance over and see what they're doing, but everybody walk and life is different.
Right.
I can't do what Obama did and expect for me to get to where he got.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do what Jeff Bezos did and expect for me to get to where he was able to get.
Right.
Yeah, he could write a book. There's certain things I could take away from it, but everybody's lifestyle is different.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Bro, if everybody was the same and if everything was the same, I'm pretty sure I'd be able to get into everybody's iPhone right now just by putting my fingerprint on it.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a reason why our fingerprints are different. If our fingerprints are different, if our bodies are different, then why the hell are we going to attempt to walk the same path that somebody else walked?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
It is crazy, man. People... They worry about other people's lives, man, and that's what it is. They're too consumed in the lane of someone else. But every person that I follow, that I look up to, they always say how they just compete with themselves and they're not in a competition with nobody, and how people get mad at them for being that motivational liaison to start bringing some ideas and tips into introduce different experiences that they had in their own life to get to where they found success. People then critique them and criticize them and say, why are you giving this knowledge away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't deserve to have this, or why are you putting us back now, the people that we finally found it out? It took us forever. Now you're just giving it to someone in a day. They don't understand because they feel that they're in competition with the next person, when in reality, they should be in competition with who they can be every single day when they wake up and look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100% facts, bro. 100% facts. Yeah. 100% facts. But there's a saying, excuse my French because I'm about to curse on it.
That's all right.
I think Jay-Z said it. He said, what you eat don't make me shit. So to translate that is, what that person do in their life doesn't affect me.
Yep.
This person could go out gangbanging. How does that affect me directly? Okay, yeah, somebody died. It may be a family member. It may be such and such. But at the end of the day, are you still on this earth? Yeah, your feelings will be hurt. You'll have a sense of rage and everything.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, are you still alive? Are you still healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it's like what the next person is doing, how is that affecting you directly?
Right.
What Kim Kardashian is doing, what Kanye West is doing, what Jay-Z is doing, what Drake is doing, how is that affecting you directly?
Mm-hmm.
True.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And this is where you tend to see some of like the bigger name artists, some of the bigger name people like Jay-Z, like J. Cole, like Nas, yeah, like Master P, like some of the bigger name people. They tend to take themselves away from the spotlight. Like J. Cole, from my lifetime, I saw him come in the spotlight real quick and literally dip out the spotlight. Because of the fact that when you get to that next level, with great power comes great responsibility, your privacy is gone.
Right.
People want to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to know that Jay-Z is making power moves without me knowing that he's making power moves is so powerful. Because of the fact that he's not letting nobody see his cards at hand. He's playing poker. Yep. He has his next move, but you don't know his next move. You're just going to see his next move. And this is why I say to many of my friends, move in silence, man. if you're not moving in silence and you telling everybody everything that you're doing and you're documenting, like, yeah, you could document it. But, like, if you just putting everything up on your Snap and you just adding everyone on Snapchat, just random people, and you're snapping everything, you just let somebody else into your life that you probably don't even know. Mm. They may know someone, like Lil Wayne said, Mona Lisa, where she gonna rob for him. He gonna come in, he gonna gangbang, he gonna blow you up. Yep. You may let somebody into your life that knows somebody like that, and they see you pretending like you flexing, and then once they come busting into your house, now you're like Kodak Black, and you're like, man, all the money that you see on the grams, that's fake money, boy. Now you sounding like Kodak Black.
Yep.
But what you did today is a result of where you are tomorrow. So, like,
right.
We just got to watch ourselves. Like, yeah, social media and everything is a powerful thing. It's a great thing. It keeps people connected. But at the end of the day, is it helping you so that way you could benefit your life? Or is it putting you in a position where it could come back and bite you?
I think that's where people don't really discriminate between when it's unhealthy and it's being used to their advantage. And I mean, like, I think the criteria is, okay, like, if I just spent 30 minutes on Instagram, did I post something? And then did I, like, message some people? Like, did I network and follow some new people, like, some pictures with intent to foster a relationship? Or did I sit there and say, man, you know, I see Joey Badass and, you know, he just copped a new Mercedes and mm-hmm. he's 23 years old. And, you know, I see Lil Tay, who is a 9-year-old girl, but I know none of that money's hers. But the fact that she got all these bands and she's standing on a Porsche 911 Turbo, like GTS, it's like, hold up. Like, I understand this is a meme. Like, she's pretending to be flexing, but, like, why is she living this life and being annoying with it, not even doing good with it? What is she mm-hmm. to get in this position when I'm out here with intent to get to that level so that I can give back and make a difference? But here I am and still nowhere close to doing that. It's like, all right, well, if, you know, I fit the latter criteria, then maybe I need to stop. Maybe I need to take a time out, reevaluate my reason for going on Instagram and kind of be more self-aware mm-hmm. of exactly what I'm doing whenever I'm giving my time to Instagram or to Facebook. But if I'm actually using it as more of a networking device and a platform and to build my own brand, then, you know, I think you're doing it for what, at this point now, a successful person should utilize it as. But mm-hmm. I don't, like, hardly anybody does that, because it's usually always the latter.
The latter. Explain.
Yeah, it's always the latter. Like, people don't use it for growth. There's... Because, honestly, I don't feel like I know that many entrepreneurs, and, like, I don't feel like I know that many people that want to do business for themselves or that want to do things for themselves. And I felt, even like, I'm not, you know, like, in my own lane, or I'm not in some special category of people that aren't like others. But I mean, I just feel like in Harrisburg, or at least the people that I know, or even people that I met at SHIP, I've never really had too many conversations about, oh, you know, like, we should start this business, we should do this, or this is what I want to do with my life, or conversations like, man, you know, I realize that there's more to life than just going on the grind and doing this 9-to-5. Like, there's mm-hmm. endless opportunity, you just have to go get it. Like, I've only either had those conversations kind of come as a new experience to somebody. If I ever introduced that to them, then they kind of, their mind is kind of fascinated with the passion that I talk with. But then I feel like they kind of just go back to the same person that they were, like, oh yeah, cool, that's awesome, like, that's great, like, I support you. But then, like, they don't do anything for themselves.
Yeah.
They don't they're not obligated to do anything for themselves. Like, they're not obligated to all be entrepreneurs. Everybody's not meant to be an entrepreneur.
No. Yeah, that's fine.
But I also feel like there's been people when I would bring up a conversation like that, then they say, like, you know, like, why are you talking about this and, like, all the cool stuff you can do in life? Like, why, like, let's talk about something else. Like, you're acting weird or something. And, like, at that point, I just, like, gotta dip out and peace out and not come around there again, because that's the opposite of somebody that I want to surround myself and associate myself with. I don't need that energy coming to me, because they live with a limited mindset, and I don't live with limits anymore. I live without limitations. And realizing this now allows me to feel like I can really conquer anything, because I know I can. And it's funny, because you said earlier, you know, people, they do things and they see results, so they think they don't have to change. But you have to always make those small adjustments and do things differently in order to take a leap. And people focus on the big picture of things. That's why they look to get there the quickest, and they think that if they're working harder and not smarter, then they'll get the bigger outcome and the bigger fruition of what it is that they're working towards, when that's a completely ludicrous way of thinking, because you want to talk about being the most optimal and the most efficient, yet you're doing something that requires you to work twice as hard, and that's not efficient at all. But it's because we take it one step at a time. We think that we're not going to get there as fast as whoever says we need to get there fast at all, because at the end of the day, there is no time limit on anything. There's no time limit on success.
No.
I think people get that because they, just like you said, like they look at other people and they're in their other lanes, and that's the only reason why, because why does he get to be 21 and have $10 million? How come I'm 25 and I don't have $10 million? Like, I'm working towards $10 million. I don't have that. Am I going to be 30? Like, I don't want to be 30 years old and then just getting $10 million. Like,
and that's when you're looking into other people's lanes. That's when you're going to kill yourself. The greed is just going to kill you from the inside out. You're really not going to be doing anything with your true life. You're just going to be looking at somebody else's success and looking at somebody else's life, and you're really not going to really tap into your inner you and your inner self and your inner purpose as to why you need to do what you need to do. And everything that you just said is valid, man. Starting out in school, what's the first thing that they teach you? If you need to go use the bathroom, raise your hand. When, in a sense, you was at home doing whatever you wanted, whenever you was little, before you went to kindergarten, you was able to use the bathroom whenever you wanted. You was able to get up, watch TV, go to sleep, do whatever you want. But then they put you in the system. Like, you're as soon as you go to school, you're basically in the system. Yeah. Like, you're trained how to sit, you're trained how to eat, you're trained how to raise your hand, you're trained how to act in society. Yeah, there is some home training. There are some things that you need to be able to do so that way you could be able to function in life and function with the rest of society. But at the same time, don't you think that it knocks off some creativity in some people? Because some people may think like, oh, damn, that's the way I'm supposed to be acting. All right, let me act like this so that way I could fit in. Because if I say I like, if they say, oh, what you bring into the campfire? Oh, or what do you like eating? And like, from my Haitian culture, all we eat is rice and beans almost every single day.
Right.
If they say, what do you guys have for dinner? And then people saying, yeah, we have spaghetti, we have macaroni, yeah, we have this, we have that. When it comes to my turn, if I'm the only Haitian in the class as a little kid, my natural instinct is to say the same thing that everybody else said, and to say, yeah, I like macaroni too, I eat that every day. When in a sense, I know in the back of my mind, I don't eat macaroni, I eat rice and beans.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it goes to the point where, like, when you're in class and the teacher be like, what's the answer to this? Or how do you solve this? And everybody else solved it one way, but you solved it the other way and you got it right.
Right.
But then they tell you, no, it's wrong. It's like, wait, how is it wrong if I got it right?
Fact.
That's when we go through life expecting if we do this, this, and this, if we do this equation, if we do A, B, C, we will get D. If we do 1, 2, 3, we will get 6. Well, adding wise, for some people, we didn't get that. If you add 1, 2, 3, you'll get 6. If you do that, you'll get that. But in a sense, it's like, nah, bro. You could do 2 times 2 plus 2 and you still get 6. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it kind of goes where it's like, damn, you knock off the creativity when you're doing this. But at the same time, it's like you put people in a jam where they feel as though like, damn, if I'm not doing this by a certain age, then I'm not going to be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot there was a basketball player who was in the D League, and then he played for the Lakers, I think the final game last year. This guy was like 35 or something. His dream was to play in an NBA team, and he was playing on the D League for the Lakers, like one of the smaller leagues that's within the Lakers. And he finally had his shot. My man dropped. I forgot how many points he dropped. But it was a dream, and he made it reality. But the thing with us is we fail to see that, yes, there are some successful people here and now. There's a president in office. Some doesn't like him. Kanye West loves this guy. I'm going to keep my opinion to myself right now. But what we fail to see is that these people who are empowered, these people who have fame, these people who we look up to, who some look up to, these people who are all over the news everywhere,
mm-hmm.
It's going to come a time when they're not there. And somebody else is going to take their spot.
Yep.
Like a notable football player that everybody know of, Brett Favre. I haven't heard crap from Brett Favre.
No.
He is just an average Joe to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. And to some students who are 10 years old right now, if Brett Favre will walk down the street past them, do you think they would know who Brett Favre is if they're not a Packers fan?
Yeah.
Or a Vikings fan or something like that? If they did their research. So why I'm saying that, I'm just saying, the only reason why I bring that up is because that next person that could be in the spotlight, that could be in a powerful position, can be you. If you don't stop grinding, if you don't stop, like, I understand you said something about grinding, but grinding doesn't just have to be you working a 9-to-5, you doing this and this. Grinding could be anything that you're doing to better yourself, anything that you're doing to put you at the next step, at the next level. If you're constantly grinding, you're constantly doing what you need to do to get yourself to the next level, then there is no way in hell you're not going to be where you need to be.
That's right.
And not everybody will be in that spotlight. Everybody dies. Everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
And the only two things, like, you know how people give out participation trophies and, like, certificates?
Yep.
And you know how some people feel as though, like, oh, if I don't get a trophy, if I don't get a certificate, I didn't do as good, I don't feel as good. You know how people feel about that? You know how people like are like, wow, I didn't get something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can guarantee you this. It's either you do something about it and you work harder, or you just sit there. Because at the end of the day, you are guaranteed 2 certificates in life. You are guaranteed 2 certificates in life automatically. Automatically, you are guaranteed 2 certificates in life. And do you know what those are?
What are they?
They're your birth certificate and your death certificate.
Yep.
Those are the only 2 things you are guaranteed. Whatever you do in between there is up to you, man. Because regardless of the fact, they're going to give it to you. They're going to give you a birth certificate and death certificate. It all depends on how much certificates, how much gold, how much what you want. But at the same time, don't confuse what you have, what you want, and what you need. Some people will give up. This is what I heard from a message from a pastor. Some people will get what they want and struggle for what they need and then ask for what they need from others. No, you're doing it. You're doing backwards.
Yep.
Get what you need and then worry about what you want. Because what you want isn't always going to be able to help you in a time of need. You know what I mean?
Yep.
My want to get a new car is not going to help me whenever my car note is due, my rent is due, and my light bill is due.
Mm-hmm.
Something got to give. Am I going to live in that car now? Am I going to walk by foot? I had a vehicle paid off, but I gave that up just to get something that I have to worry about. You know what I mean? Now I got to work to live. I can't work to have fun. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But nah, bro. I don't know if you want to add on to that or anything. My fault.
No, man. I mean, I think you pretty much addressed all the main points there, man. It is a shame because a lot of people, they don't have their priorities straight, and I don't think they really want to have their priorities straight. And when I was actually on the way back from the gym, I was just like in my car. I had some 19 Keys talking in the background, but I was just pretty much thanking God for everything that he gave me and for everything that he's continuing to do for me and for this new job and everything. And I just, you know, I just said, because in the video that 19 Keys had with Red Pill, Blue Pill, he was talking about how rappers and all these different music artists, they blow 15K on a necklace.
Mm-hmm.
How 21 Savage is on a bank account tour, and he was helping the youth because he said that he swore he was done buying chains. Like, he's never buying a chain again. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you know, God, I thank you for showing me how to get the most out of life and for allowing me to realize sooner than others that material possessions do not account for the pleasures of this world that are not.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, I'm so blessed and so fortunate. And just so grateful with everything that I have and every day, it just amazes me how much I even am given. And I'm like, man, like, you know, I don't know what I did to deserve this, but I'm extremely grateful. And I want to always express that. And I want to always put that in the world that I'm grateful for everything that I have. And I'm never taking anything for granted ever again. Like, mm-hmm. that I have, you know, it's. It could always be worse.
What you're saying is value. Yep. Straight value. Some people put all their time and worry on materialistic things. And they'll flex it on Snapchat, Instagram. Flex it around everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll be dead inside spiritually. They'll be dead inside. They won't have a true connection with anything.
Yep.
They'll go home looking for love. They'll go home looking for something to fulfill themselves, but all they have is the money and the jewelry that they purchased. Like, there's nothing wrong with having that stuff. I'm not saying there's something wrong with it.
No.
But if you're feeling dead inside and everything that you're buying is not helping you out, that's because you're looking in the wrong spot. And I hate to bring this on a religious path, but do right with God. Like, mm-hmm. everything that you're getting now, it's not because of the money. It's because of God. Mm-hmm. He put everything on this earth.
That's right.
For people who are not religious, yeah, I'm going to cut it off right now. Sorry, but it is what it is. But if you're not right with yourself, if you're not right with the one who created you and everything, then are you truly going to be spiritually happy? Are you really going to feel good inside? Are you really going to feel loved? Are you really going to let the greatness manifest inside of you so that way you could do greater things in life?
Right.
Or whoever you believe in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to offend anybody who doesn't believe in that, but whoever you believe in, like, come on, man. There's some basketball players who say that the fame isn't everything. They fall into depression, and people are like, yo, why are you depressed? You have all this money. You have everything that you want. But it doesn't feel good when you come home to an empty house.
Yep. Yep. Home is where the heart is, man. And if your heart isn't at home, your heart's in material possessions, then it doesn't feel as good.
That's why I rock with J. Cole so much.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And
man, one of J. Cole's lines that always resonates with me is in Deja Vu, and he says, though I sin, the Lord blessing me still.
Yep.
I think I said that, like, weekly. Like, ever since I've heard that line, like, I've said that weekly since then. I'm just like, man, though I sin, Lord, you still bless me.
And it's a great feeling, and it's a true feeling.
Yep, Yep. It's like, I don't want to justify sitting. Like, I don't want to keep doing it, but I'm just like, man, like, though we slip up in sin, you still blessing us. Like, crazy. Endless love, man. Crazy love.
Bro, I feel you on that. I feel you on that.
Yep.
I feel you on that. And I don't know, man. For those who needed this message, they take what you can. But for those who don't feel as though this podcast helped you out, sorry about that. Actually, I'm not even sorry, because I'm speaking about what I truly believe in, and what God told me to speak about, in a sense. So for those that this resonate with, keep on doing you. Keep on the path that you're on, because you don't know at what point in time where you'll hit that diamond mind, where you'll hit that path of success, where you'll hit that oil that's gushing out of the ground, where you're like, wow, I am really rich.
Yep.
Mentally, spiritually, financially, I am truly blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So it may seem terrible now. It may seem hard now, but what's hard now won't be hard tomorrow. The workout that I did today with that guy, it was hard now, but come 3 weeks from now, I'll be doing that as if it was my routine. And I'll probably have to switch it up, because as soon as I get comfortable with it, that's how I know I'm not growing no more.
Facts.
But hey, some people don't like change. Some people like being comfortable where they're at. Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone, but for those who like the challenge, and for those who want things to go their way, but things don't always go their way, always remember this. Life is a game. Life is basically a game. You just got to play it. You just got to live it. You can't expect your plans to go the way they need to go. And I set a plan out every single day, and I'm pretty sure everybody has an agenda and they set the plan out every single day. And I'm pretty sure that there is no way in hell there's an agenda or a plan that goes 100% the way that they plan on it going. And you know that for a fact, bro.
Yeah.
We did orientation together, and it was always, yeah, we're on a time limit, da 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 da. And once that time limit, we go over it, everybody's panicking. Why panic? Just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Adapt, right?
Yeah, you said you was gonna do this. Life said, hell no, you're gonna do this. All right, fuck it, I'm gonna just do it.
Yep, that's it.
Hey, yo, it is what it is.
Well, you added a lot of value tonight, bro, and I thank you once again for.
Yeah, bro.
Man, it was definitely a beautiful moment, and I think there was definitely a lot of inspiration and a lot of passion from what happened tonight, and I'm happy for you. I'm happy that God came into your life. I definitely think that's.
Oh yeah, he was always there.
Honor, you know what I mean?
He was always there. I kind of walked away a little bit, but then I saw myself and I was like, oh crap, this ain't me.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, yo, be on the lookout for new things to come from me. I understand that you're about to start up your YouTube channel.
Yes, sir.
I soon want to start up mine, so be on the lookout for that. Spring of 19. I just need to get some things in line, but be on the lookout for that. But yeah, we'll get this going. Thank you for having me on, bro. Hopefully, this is not the last time you have me on.
Nah, never. You can shout out your social medias if you want, man, so people can, you know, link up with you. If they got things they want to follow up with, they can reach out to you.
Man, I don't usually follow back on Instagram, just so y'all know. So if y'all follow me on Instagram, it's R Bordell. So it's RBOURDEAU underscore no profo NOPROFO. Like I said before, I don't follow back, but if you DM me and you have some value or like some things you want to talk about, maybe you'll be lucky and I'll follow back. I just don't follow people back because it's like, hey, if it's truly someone that I bang with or I truly need in my life, you'll be in my life and I'll follow you. But if not, then sorry for those that I'm not following. I just haven't seen a reason yet, but maybe there is a reason soon. Sorry if I offended you. Just let me know and I'll correct that. But my Facebook, if you add me on Facebook, I'll add you back as a friend. It's Ruben Bordell, RUBEN Bordeaux, Bourdeau. So that's my social. I don't give out my Snap that much because I barely be on there. So those are the two platforms where you could truly find me on. Twitter, I'm not on there that much. I only retweet a couple things. But be on the lookout for my next project coming soon in the spring of 19. Hopefully I can help out Alex with his next project as well with the videography and everything. But we'll see how everything plays out, man. For real, for real.
Yeah, man. A lot of great things to come, man. I'm excited. Very, very excited. And there's light at the end of the tunnel for both of us. So we just gotta
keep it, man. Yeah, yeah. Keep on doing what you're doing, bro. You're doing some great things. Don't get too comfortable. The moment you get comfortable, that's when you fall behind. So keep your foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah. Never getting comfortable out here, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was nice catching up.
For sure, man. Thanks again, yo. And I'm going to post this up so you can hear it tomorrow.
Nah, bro. I'll probably be at work stressing.
try and relax, man. But I'm going to have this up. I'm going to probably, when I wake up in the morning, just type that little the little blurb and then throw that joint up. So
yeah, do what you gotta do. All right,
yeah, dog, thanks again, man. Really appreciate it. I know a lot of people got a lot of value here, so more things to come.
Yeah, yo, more life,
more everything.
All right, bro.
Yeah, yo, have a good one, man. Thanks.
You as well.
Thanks, yo.